Tonight we are going to look at Matthew chapter 13, verses 51 and 52, just two verses tonight. Matthew chapter 13, verses 51 and 52. Before we hear God's word, if you would join your hearts together with me in prayer. Let's pray together, friends. Our God in heaven, we thank you that you have showered your gifts and graces upon the church without measure. And we look forward to the day when our Messiah will return and inflict vengeance upon his enemies and our enemies. But Father, as we await the return of our King, we struggle through this life. We labor under heavy burdens, and we suffer. And so we pray, Father, that as the gospel is proclaimed, as new treasures are brought out of your scriptures, we pray that you would comfort us, encourage us by your word. For we ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 51, beloved, this is the word of God. "Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old." This is the word of God. Well, Jesus here mentions a scribe in these verses, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven. Scribes in Jesus' day were professional teachers of the law. They were regarded as the experts of the Old Testament. That's how they were honored in Jesus' day. They were regarded as experts in the Bible, the Torah. Jesus will say later that the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. And so during the time that this book was written, the time that Jesus did his ministry on earth, these scribes, along with the Pharisees, sat in a place of authority. They sat in Moses' seat. They served then in an official capacity as teachers of the law. And they were recognized as that. But they were, in essence, illegitimate, even though they sat in that official capacity. Jesus will denounce them later, along with the Pharisees, as hypocrites. Even though they had the official title, scribe or Pharisee, they were really illegitimate teachers and hypocrites because they did not have faith. Because they did not have faith, and because they did not have faith, they did not understand, which is what made them illegitimate. They did not understand the scriptures. They did not truly understand the law, the very thing that they taught and were to be experts in. Now, Jesus said earlier when he began speaking in parables, quoting Isaiah, he said, you will indeed hear, but never understand. So then who was to take their place? It couldn't go on like this forever. These are God's people, after all, and God takes care of his people. Who would take the place of these unbelieving scribes? God's people, in every generation, need God's word. In God's wisdom, he has given his people instructors of his word. That is how he ministers his word to his people, through men, through chosen men who proclaim his word, teachers of his word, and prophets. Now, some men ascend to these positions for the title only. They like to be called scribes. They like to be recognized as experts in the law. They love to be seen and recognized among the people as a professional teacher, as a scribe. Jesus said they do all their deeds to be seen by others. That's their purpose. That's why they do the things they do. To be seen, to be recognized by men. Now, the problem with this is that they don't truly understand. To them, it has not been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. And so what God's people need is scribes who understand. Jesus makes this distinction here between true scribes and false scribes. He says, Have you understood all these things? To which his disciples respond, yes. Yes, they had understood. Now notice here who the authority is. Who determines who is appropriate, who is rightly called to fill these places, to fill the place of scribes? It's Jesus himself. The authority in determining who true scribes are for God's people is Jesus Christ. He is the judge. He stands at the top of the pecking order. It is these men who by faith these men who say yes to Jesus, who has full authority. It is these men who by faith left everything to follow Christ. It is these men who by faith understand. They understand these things. Do you understand? By faith, they do understand. Now, we'll come to see that they didn't understand everything. They didn't understand what Jesus had taught perfectly. But at bottom, they understood. They believed. They understood who he was, that he was the Messiah. They did not understand perfectly, but they understood enough to give their lives in service of the kingdom of heaven. It is these men who stood before Jesus and recognized him as the living and breathing and walking and eventually dying fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. These are the men who knew Torah, just like the scribes of their day, who knew Torah, and they see Jesus and they recognize this is him. This is the Messiah of our scriptures. The scribes did not. That is what made them illegitimate scribes. It is these men who say yes to Christ's question here who worshiped him. Do you understand? Jesus asked them. Because the Jews and the scribes don't understand, in the power of the Spirit, the disciples vow to Jesus, yes, we understand. There's the distinction. We have these men who are about to take the place of the scribes, who understand in the power of the Spirit. And then we have the Jews, the unbelieving Jews, the Pharisees and the scribes on the other side, who do not understand. And yet they sit in Moses' seat. They vow to Jesus, yes, we understand. Now, of course, in this context, part of the understanding included what he had just taught them in the parables. We've just gone through several parables up until this point. And so he's asking them, do you understand these things? Which included what I just said in the parables. Do you understand the lessons that you learned from those parables? But it certainly would include everything else as well. If we could summarize then, the disciples just from what the disciples had learned in these previous parables, the disciples just learned and understood that they would be preaching the gospel of the kingdom and that this kingdom would eventually fill the world. That is part of what they learned in the parables. But until that day, until the day that the kingdom filled all of the world, its power, the power of the kingdom, would remain partly hidden or veiled. They wouldn't see the full glory of the very thing they were preaching until the age to come. That is part of what they learned. It was like leaven in flour. It was hidden, but eventually it would fill all of the world. They also understood that there would be different reactions to their preaching, and that as they preached and as they taught the gospel, their archenemy, the devil, would attempt to do everything in his power to stop their work. He would plant his own children right next to them to grow up and to do evil things in an attempt, a futile attempt, to stop the advancement of the kingdom. So that was another thing that they learned, that they would be surrounded on all sides by enemies of the gospel. In other words, as scribes of Jesus, scribes of the kingdom of heaven, these men would be entering hostile territory. Now, this is important for us to appreciate here. Jesus asks each one of us, he asks you, do you understand? The disciples say yes. Now, this is a big yes from them. If they truly did understand, because part of understanding Jesus' teaching meant that at some point in their ministry, they would understand fully, and well, they would understand this more fully as the ministry to these men went on, but they would understand more fully that this yes, and this is what we have to understand too, do you understand, to which we say yes as well, that we operate in hostile territory. And for these disciples, their yes meant that they might have to die for the kingdom of heaven. That is part of what it means for the glory of the kingdom to be partly veiled. Peter, Paul, John, the disciples, they would not sit on thrones. They would not be honored among men like you might think leaders in the kingdom would be honored. They would be killed, martyred for their faith. It's the same for us, friends. We will not see the full glory of the kingdom until our King comes again. That is part of what it means to say yes to that question. Do you understand? Do you understand your place in this world? That you don't belong here? That you're in hostile territory? That's partly what this yes means. Jesus said so. He said to his hearers at this time, "You will be hated by all for my name's sake." Do you understand this? Now, some of these very sons of the devil that were spoken about in the parables, Jesus is telling them, they will persecute you. They will take you to court. Do you understand? And so we see that true teachers, true scribes in the kingdom will worship Christ. They will understand that following Christ means, partially, enduring persecution. That is part of what they understand here. It also means that they would have to endure hatred on account of Christ. Now, these types of scribes or disciples will be able to both profess understanding with their mouths, yes, and they will be able to profess it with the way they live. That is what we are all called to do. We take vows at this church when we become members. We say yes to them. But what is really important with those vows is that we follow up those yeses with the way that we live, with Christ-like lives. That's what these disciples were being expected to do. Do you understand this? Yes. And then we see from the rest of their lives, they really meant that. They gave their lives for the kingdom. We see here that these men who are called to do this do not come out of the box ready-made to preach and to teach. They have to be trained. These men are, at this point, ignorant of lots of things. And so they must be trained. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven, they are being trained here. Jesus says, again, he says this, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house." These men were being trained by Christ, both in theological education and in practical education. They were watching the way he lived. They were gaining wisdom and knowledge from wisdom itself. The wisdom in the flesh is right before them. That is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The disciples were learning here that wisdom includes pure doctrine about the kingdom. And it also includes a life lived in Christ-like self-denial. They would watch as their leader was taken away and crucified. And so, in a sense, they would be witnessing something of their own future. That's the kind of response that the world gives at times to the preaching of the gospel. And so then they would be faced with the question, once again, do you understand? They watch Christ be crucified, and they're thinking to themselves, do we understand what this means for us? For Paul, martyrdom. For Peter, martyrdom, who was crucified. For the others, most of the disciples were killed precisely because of this yes that they said before Jesus. Do you understand this? And so this is part of what it means to be trained in the kingdom, to recognize that we profess with our mouths our allegiance to Jesus, and then we live out what we profess in our lives. Now, all of us are disciples. Each one of us are disciples, and Christ is training us to be like him, and so we can all learn from this. We are all not called to be scribes. Not all of us are called to be official teachers serving in an official capacity in the church, but we are all disciples. And so we are all being trained. And he continues to train each one of us today. Lastly, being a disciple is not all bad. And so we just talked about some of the difficulties that the disciples would face. Rejection from the world, rejection from their own people, perhaps even losing their lives for the gospel. But being a disciple is not all bad. Of course, there is heavenly reward for the service that they would render, but being a disciple is not all bad. The parables helped Christ's disciples understand that the kind of hostility that they would face in the world. Now, hopefully, as they learn these things, they would not be surprised by it, nor would they be discouraged by it and lose heart. But there's also a positive element to what the disciples were being called to understand here. A true scribe among God's people is trained by Christ, not for himself, but for the kingdom of heaven. He is trained to serve the kingdom of heaven, not be a ruler over it. A scribe who is trained for the kingdom of heaven is what Jesus said, to serve the kingdom of heaven. He is trained then to be ready and willing to die for the kingdom if necessary. Again, this is what happened to most of these men who were saying yes here. Now, what this means, though, is that these men would also receive rewards of the kingdom. Along with all those who are in the kingdom of heaven, we all receive heavenly rewards for serving the kingdom of heaven in this way. Blessed are you who are persecuted for Christ's sake. Be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. There is a reward for each one of us who serve the kingdom of heaven in this way, in the way that the disciples served. The other positive element about being trained as a scribe for the kingdom of heaven is that this teacher will have the privilege of bringing out the word of God, divine wisdom, both old and new, for God's people. Jesus compares godly, faithful teachers of the gospel to a master of a house. He compares them also, he does this in another parable as well, but he compares faithful teachers of the gospel to a master of the house. This master has a safe box, a treasure box. It's a savings account, if you will. In this box are valuable commodities, both from when the house was first built. These are commodities. There are commodities in the treasure from when the house was first built, when it was old, and other valuables that were deposited into the box more recently. That's what's in this box, new valuables. When the master of the house needs to dip into the treasure box, he brings both of them out. He doesn't discriminate. He brings both old and new valuables out for service of the house, to help with the keeping up of the house. And so teaching scripture is like this. The true scribe will understand that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. He is the fulfillment. I came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. That is what a true scribe will understand. The true scribe will also see in this fulfillment that Jesus Christ advances the history of redemption in the world. In this way, then, all that we see in the Gospels and the rest of the New Testament is just that. It's new. It's the New Testament, after all. Why is it new? Because the Messiah has come. So you should expect new things. You should expect differences in the new covenant and advancement. One of the types of advancement that we enjoy in the new covenant is we are no longer bound to a lot of the ritual laws in the Old Testament. The ceremonial laws, the judicial laws do not apply in the new covenant. So there's an advancement. There's a newness to what we enjoy in Christ in this age. And so the true scribe will not discard the old simply because the new has come. He brings both of them out. The true scribe will understand and teach that teaching the old, bringing it out, will help us better understand what is taking place in the new. Additionally, bringing out the new will help us have a deeper and richer understanding of the old. And so he brings both of them out. And in all of his teaching, he seeks to show why that teaching is to be treasured up in the hearts of God's people and why it's to be lived out in their lives. It is because in both the old and the new, The true scribe will seek to reveal Christ, the Messiah. This is why we here at Providence preach all of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. Genesis in Sunday school, we have Philippians in the mornings, Matthew in the evenings. We've gone through books like Joshua, Habakkuk. We go through all of the Bible, and in all of that, we attempt to show the glory of Jesus Christ. Remember again, who has the authority here? Who is doing the questioning and designating who the true scribes are? It's Jesus Christ. Do you understand these things? This also means that the true scribe will teach the old and the new in a way that their hearers understand. That's what Jesus did. He used simplicity. He used farming metaphors, wedding metaphors. He used this metaphor about a master of a house and a treasure. These are things that people in his day would easily understand. And so a scribe treasures up the wisdom of God in Jesus Christ. He knows the word of God, and he brings it out in a way that God's people will understand. And so this is what every minister of the gospel in the new covenant is to be. He is first and foremost a student and teacher of the word. In order to bring out the old and the new from the treasure box, he has to be very familiar with what is in the treasure box. And so in this way, friends, ministers never stop training, but also each one of us. We never stop training. We never stop digging down deep into that treasure box. And so we must all learn from this. There's much joy on this path in bringing out the old and the new. But there's also much rejection and suffering. Christ will be rejected in his own hometown in the next section. We'll look at that, Lord willing, next time in a couple of weeks. Now, not all of us are ministers, but we can all learn from what Jesus is saying here. We have been given ministers. If we have been given ministers, scribes who are faithful in this calling, teaching Christ from the old and the new, then we would all do well to listen and to make ourselves ready to continually respond to this question that Jesus poses to each one of us. Do you understand? That is what we are called to do, and as we are called, that is what we are being trained for, to follow the footsteps of these apostles and saying yes, both with our mouths and with our lives.